Chapter 12. Companions. Months later. April. Nikki has invited me back to Brighton for Easter. The plane ticket is a reward for my brilliant marks in English. As soon as we get into her house, Nikki pushes me on the sofa and puts a DVD on. "What is it? What do you want to show me?" I ask, almost sure of what I'm going to see. The DVD player takes a long time to get started.
"Surprise!"
At last, the DVD player appears on the TV screen. Nikki opens it, jumps onto the couch. Catchy music. Blue box flying into a crazy colored vortex. Note, is it the episode? Note the capital letters.
"Yep, just out of editing. We can watch it before anyone else, but it's in English, without subtitles."
"It's okay. I think I'll be able to follow the story." "Of course I can follow the story. Not every single word, but the general idea. Doctor Who has changed the scenario quite a lot in the end. Funny, this story of a thermos flask whose content makes the Life Eaters become babies of another species. Nikki's parents are stunning in the pavilion scene. The doctor's partner is quite hot too. I say as much to Nikki.
"You must be joking!"
She explodes.
"She's horrible! She's at least 30 years old, and she's got this ridiculous smile."
"You are not exactly objective, Nikki," I remark.
"What do you mean?"
"You're in love with him."
"I'm not."
"Of course you are. And so am I, in a way. So classy, so mature." "Okay, I admit it. When I got back to Paris, I started watching Doctor Who. I became a total fan of the series. I even did a presentation in my English class. Madame Truchon gave me 19 out of 20, not 20. I was so happy, completely crazy." We check each other. Mates, really. "Who did we meet that day?" I ask for the 158th time.
"The actor who plays Doctor Who. Who else?"
"So who did your parents meet?"
"Who did they meet? The actor who plays Doctor Who. The same as us. You don't really think that Doctor Who exists?"
I don't answer. Nikki touches her head with a gesture to indicate I'm crazy.
"Zoe actually thinks Doctor Who exists."
I look at her. "So there are two actors who resemble each other. Why not? Maybe there's a way we can check." "Remember your promise," I say.
"To go back to Cardiff. To the Doctor Who experience. Really, if you become totally obsessed with Doctor Who, your parents will hate me."
I smile at her, like a tiger. The pier hasn't changed. We walk to the end of it, then back the other side, where I saw an object floating in the water a couple of months earlier. "Have you had any news from Jamal?" I ask Nikki.
"I saw him for the last time 2 weeks ago. He's moved to London. He gave me something for you."
Nikki searches in her bag and gives me a letter. He's written in English. His words are soft and kind.
"Dear Zoe, I'll never forget the few days we spent together. But for the moment, I have to settle down in this new country, find work, make money, become part of Great Britain, and leave Syria behind me. I have a new room in a hostel for immigrant students. This is my email. I would be very happy to hear from you. Dr. Jamal Hu at gmail.com."
My heart warms up a little. I fold the letter and put it in one of my jacket pockets. No comment. We walk to the staircase and down onto the beach. Suddenly, I have this feeling that I might find something, like I had the first time I was in Brighton. I go hunting, looking under the pier. And I do find something.
What are you doing?
I pick up the object and turn back to Nikki, my hand open, to show her what I've found. It's a ball, the size of my hand. It seems to give off some kind of magnetic energy. It's all white.
What's that?
No idea. As we both look at the strange ball, it starts to pulsate, like a heart beating all on its own.
That's really cool,
says Nikki.
I'm starting to believe you really do have a talent for finding strange things.
The ball turns pink, then blue. A strange sort of electronic noise seems to surround us.
What's that?
Nikki asks again. No time to answer. An electric flash shakes the night air. The pier is vibrating like a high-speed train.
What the hell?
A noise we have both heard before seems to come from nowhere. The ball in my hand is now a dark blue color that reminds me of something. And suddenly, the police phone box is there. The blue box. The doors open and a man with an electric guitar looks out at us, still playing a heavy metal riff.
Come on, girls. This time, it's for real.
What would you do if you were us?